You know, we all go through those times of shaking in our life, those times that seem to be a challenge. And when they do happen, we aren't really thankful for maybe some of the things we go through. But what I found at those times of shaking, it kind of reveals the things in my life that are connected to God. And also it shows some things that maybe I need to reconnect to God, where maybe I've kind of went stagnant. So my message today is on the topic of the time of shaking. It's not going to be one of those messages that makes you feel good all the time. It's going to maybe, you know, some messages are a toe tapper, some messages step on your toes. And this one might be a little bit of a both in a sense, but, you know, I'm a revivalist at heart. My goal is that the church will come into revival and to have the fire of God again. And starting this off, you know, many people think, you know, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are two different gods, or at least maybe it makes a strong case for good cop, bad cop, you know, because of the way they interpret. You know, some think the God of the Old Testament was mean and distant, while the God of the New Testament is nice and loving. Now, this is a very simplistic, you know, approach to understanding God, but it's very misleading. Truth is, there's more mercy in the Old Testament than we could imagine, and there's more judgment in the New Testament than you and I would want to admit. There's only one God, and we need both the Old and the New Testaments so that we can better understand him. The passage the Lord laid on my heart today is Hebrews chapter 12, 25 to 29. It's kind of a mouthful, but I believe that God's going to reveal some good things to us here. It says, "See to it that none of you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.'" This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity you've given us to come to you, you know, especially in these last days, the time of stirring in each of our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit to be here today with each and every one of us, wherever we are right now. Lord, I thank you for the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. And we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you look at this passage, you know, it can kind of sound kind of harsh and somewhat scary. You know, that's why so many people have been social distancing God for years, and they stay more than 6 feet away. You know, God spoke to Israel in the mountain, quaked, and it scared them. And so they told God, they told Moses, so God could get the message, that they didn't want God to speak to them. God just wanted to speak to his people and come to know them in an intimate way, but they didn't want that. So they said, "Moses, you go between us and God, and you listen to what God says, and then you tell us, and then we'll listen to you." Well, that wasn't true totally. They listened, but they didn't obey. And then another part of this passage also has something going on there. It's quoted from the book of Haggai, and it's about the shaking of the nations before the Messiah returns. And that's talking about Jesus. So these two Old Testament passages were tied together here by the writer of Hebrews so that it can give us one New Testament thought. And that New Testament thought's what we're going to look at today. And I think we can glean some things. My first point is talking about a whole lot of shaking. You know, back in the day, you know, that meant something else. You know, when you went out dancing rock and roll and stuff, like, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. But what this is talking about here today is about the return of Christ. And it talks about what's going to happen before he comes. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come today, tomorrow. We don't know. God just said to be ready. And I want to know today, are you ready? Am I ready for the return of our Lord? See, birth pangs came and there was a sign of the return. Now, whenever you get birth pangs, I personally never had them, but it's a sign that something big is coming. You know, I survived having three babies, you know, and my hand was squeezed really hard and it hurt a lot, you know, so it was really hard on me, but I survived. You know, my wife's here giving me a bad look right now, but I know what women go through. Women are tough, and God bless them for that. But, you know, them birth pangs, you know, say that something's coming. And I believe that some of the shaking and things that's going on in the world today are birth pangs. You know, maybe some of them's been Braxton contractions, but I believe the real birth pangs are going to be here. See, there's been minor shakings all throughout history. You know, God has used historical events to draw people back to Him. See, God is not the author of bad things, although bad things are going to happen in this world. I believe that, you know, God has also released His Holy Spirit all throughout history. But when people cried out to Him, and that's when God showed up on the scene. You know, I'm calling the church today. This is a great opportunity that we have. A lot of things are going on. Our lives are shaken up. Things aren't like they used to be, and so we're not on sure footing. Now's a great time. Cry out to God. Cry out for revival. You know, because we're in that time of shaking right now. You know, God will use this thing, this virus, whatever going on around, the invisible enemy. See, there's another invisible enemy. His name's Satan, and he's always around trying to mess with our stuff. But see, there's another enemy right now, this virus that's around. And, you know, I believe that, you know, God can use that to humble us, to show us that we are not in control, that God is in control and we need Him. So church, I call on you today, cry out revival. See, every now and then you have to shake the tree just to see what falls out. See what's connected and see what's not really connected. You know, I remember, you know, my mom had an apple tree out there and I couldn't reach an apple. I'd shake that branch. I'd want to see an apple come out. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But see, hopefully, we are holding on loosely to the material things of this world, but holding tightly to the things of God. And see, that's what happens when there's shaking going on. When there's a whole lot of shaking on going on, you want to grab a hold of something that's going to be secure. You know, the shaking reveals what is important and what is not important. You know, what we found out through this whole ordeal, it reveals the essential and the non-essential. Those are TQ words, you know, that's been going around in our culture. You know, we got a lot of people who's essential, and some people evidently, the government says, you're not essential, so you're supposed to stay home. But see, through this whole essential, non-essential, I think what we've learned, and I have, and I hope you have too, that we can easily live without the frivolous things, but we cannot live without the people working at the local grocery store. You know, we found out that, you know, food workers, farmers, truckers, and food processors have become heroes, while all those greedy politicians have become reviled. See, the people that think they're in control are not in control. To be honest, some of those people aren't necessary. But what's necessary is the things that we really need. We all need food. We all need these things. So God bless those workers. I know some of them have been struggling, and you see on Facebook, some are complaining how people are making more money, you know, staying at home while they have to go and serve on the front lines. And all I can tell you is sometimes being a hero just has to be good enough, because that's maybe all the credit you're going to get through this whole ordeal. But we can now see some things that can be replaced in our life and some things that are irreplaceable. Hopefully you've built relationships with your family again and reconnected. I know sometimes that can be a little stressing sometimes, you know, in close quarters for a long time. Cabin fever through the winter, and now we're locked up together. But hopefully all things are working out. But what I found is that when our world gets rocked, we find out what rock we're standing on. You know, what's your sense of security? I used to do some mountain climbing back when I lived in Colorado. And I remember, you know, you'd stand on some good rock and maybe you was on some slippery rock. You know, that slippery rock, you couldn't really stand. And see, we need to stand on that good rock, and that good rock is Jesus Christ. You know, I remember the old hymn, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." I'm going to spare you me singing it. We're maybe going to play it here at the end of the service. But, you know, it says, all other things are sinking sand. See, all the things that get shaken, you know, when trouble's going on, when we're kind of needing our footing, we need to make sure we're standing upon the rock of Christ. Because that's a rock that'll never roll. That's the rock that's going to be there in your life. And that's the relationship that we need to develop. You know, we put our faith and trust, and, you know, some of you might be sports crazy. You know what I mean? We chase our kids in sports and even on Sundays and all that stuff. Well, now that's been taken away. You know, I'm 60 years old now, and I used to be very athletic, and I still am a little bit, but I can't do what I used to do. That's been taken away. And if I didn't have a relationship with Christ or didn't have that security, you know, if my whole identity was in athleticism, honey, that ship sailed. What do I do now? That's why you have to be well-rounded and well-grounded in the things of God. Because that's what's going to bring you through when those things in this world kind of slip away. You know, shaking reveals the things that have connection with God and the things that do not. And we're going to get to why that's important that we understand that connection with God, especially in times of shaking. Because that's what's really going to help us so that we can be able to weather the storm. You know, the children of Israel, like I mentioned, you know, Moses went up and he got revelation from God, and God wanted to build a relationship with his people, you know, that he just wanted to, you know, get to know them and spend time with them. And, you know, they social distanced him. They just kept him away. Said, we don't really want to talk to God. He scares me. Maybe God scares you today. I want to tell you, there is a scary part of God, but it's not scary in a bad way. But hopefully, we get to know the God that wants to build that relationship so that we understand who it is and what we have in him. See, there's two messages here in this passage of Scripture. You know, one of comfort for the faithful and one of despair for the unfaithful. See, the Bible has some good news as well as some bad news. Now, I know as a minister, I preach the good news, but I can't lie. I got to tell you the whole story. You know, there's some pastors just want to tell you how sweet you are and how good you are and how great you are. And that's good. You are sweet, good, and great. But on the other hand, we have to tell the whole picture. God is a good God, but also God is a God of justice, and we need to understand that. See, the good news is for those who have surrendered their lives to Christ. But see, the bad news is for those who have spurned the gospel and live only for worldly pleasures. Oh, there's a lot of pleasures out there. I know there are. And they can be tempting, they can be enticing. And I'm not saying you have to, you know, be a narcissist and just stay away from everything and, you know, keep distant. Because there's things we can enjoy in this world, but we just can't let those things draw us away from God. We need to stay close to God. See, if not for the faith of the faithful, I think we'd all be doomed. And the reason why I say that, God bless our forefathers in the faith and the fathers in the faith right now and mothers that are preaching the gospel, because the faithful point the way so that sinners can turn from their sins. You know, and it's not too late to turn our lives over to Christ. Maybe you're not where you should be right now. And you know it. You feel it on the inside. I want to say that Jesus Christ will accept you where you are right now. You don't have to change a thing. All you got to do is want to head towards him and say, Jesus, take control of my life. I want you to be in control. I surrender to you. I don't want to be God no more. I'd want to be a follower of God. And I want to follow you. And that's important. And see, where the problem starts, and that was the first part of this passage, you know, it was talking about people that were saying no to God. I don't know about you, but that's kind of dicey for me, you know, especially what I know now. I've read the whole book. And saying no to God is not a good thing. Can you remember a time when you were young and you said no to your parents? I remember. And when I finally came to, all I remember is don't do that again. You know, that's when I started to practice social distancing from my parents, you know, whenever I was disobedient to them. Now, in all fairness, maybe you've had this happen, but I was getting mixed messages from my parents. You know, when I was little, I remember saying no, and they thought it was cute. You know, they'd just giggle and laugh, and I'd say no, and I could get attention by saying no. But when I got older, man, they got bent out of shape. You know, so I was getting them double messages. And see, we need to get to the place where we understand what authority is all about. See, there's a price to pay when we say no to authority. And we need to understand that. As a child, if we say no to authority, we might get spanked or grounded. Been there, did that. Bought the t-shirt. As an adult, if we say no to authority, we may get demoted or even fired from our job. But as a sinner, if we say no to God, we're going to spend eternity in hell. And that's a sad place to be. Remember when you were younger? One of the Bushes, I think it's Barbara Bush, I can't remember which one. They had the anti-drug campaign. They said, just say no to drugs. Now, I say just say no to drugs, but never say no to God. We always need to say yes and amen. See, we can never turn away from those divine communications that God has for us. Now, what I found out in my life, don't just make a mental note, but write it down. That way you don't forget. We need to act on it, not put it off. You know, God speaks to us in different ways, and we're going to look at a few of those in a moment. But when God speaks to us, oh, we put it in our head, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, wow, God spoke to me. Well, then, after a while, maybe a day, we forget because we didn't follow through. And it's important that we follow through. See, it's one thing to reject the law in the Old Testament, but it's another far thing that's worse, to reject the gospel of the New Testament. See, God is speaking to our generation through the finished work of Christ. And we need to understand that. Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. Jesus did all the work. He was sinless, but yet he died as a sinner. He was our substitute. And when we choose to put our faith and our trust totally in him, then we tap in to that redemption. And we need to look at God through that. See, so the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament is a little different in this way. In the Old Testament, he killed animals and the blood was shed and it covered them for a while. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ paid the total price. It's the testament of grace. But still, we must respond. We can't reject it. We just can't. See, if you just accept it in your head, but you never speak it out or you never act upon it, it's as if you rejected it. It has to leave your mind and get down into your heart. See, Jesus took God's wrath. And see, that's what happens when we reject God, is you get the wrath. And Jesus chose to take that separation for us to pay our price. See, God has provided a way out. We just need to obey that call. God is speaking to you right now. He's saying, come, come to me. Come and be a part of my family. Be a part of what I'm doing. Don't just build your kingdom, build my kingdom. And when you do that, we start to tap into his power. See, those who ignore the message of Jesus Christ will not escape his wrath, because God is the God of love and he's the God of justice. The same God, but that's just how things have to be understood. Now, when we say no to God, we are denying his sovereignty in our lives. God is a sovereign God. He is the creator. He is the author. He's the one who started all things, and he created us for a purpose, and that was to serve him, and that's why we're here. And that's the message we need to hear today, that it's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about him, because he is a sovereign God, and he's earned that. You know, because when we say no to him, we are actually saying that we know more than God. We're also saying that our plans are more important than God's plans. I don't know about you, but I think God's a pretty good planner, and I think we need to respond to Him. I think we all would probably agree today that God is the author of life. But the mistake we make is we become the editor of our life. See, when somebody writes a book, you know, they put their heart and soul into that. They're the author of that book. And that's what God did with the Bible. And that's what God is doing with our lives. But the mistake that we make is that when we think we know more than the author, because that's what the editor does, he cuts things out. And if you cut too many things out, you're going to miss the whole message of the book. That's why we need to make sure that we stay true to what God says and not miss that real message, because we should never edit God's word. You know, as a parent, I've learned that how do you like it when your teenager tells you no, or that they know more than you know? Does the word disrespect come to mind? I don't know about you, but I can handle a lot of stuff. But when a kid mouths off or is disrespectful, that just really cuts you to the middle of the core, doesn't it? You know, how does that make you feel? It's rough, isn't it? Now, one thing I've learned is that, especially being a parent, and God is our parent, that God is a whole lot more patient, more merciful than I am. And my kids could probably testify to that. I think they're thankful that I'm not God, because they may not be here right now. But see, I knew my Heavenly Father wouldn't want me to do that, so I had to walk in love. But it is a problem. But see, if we don't like it when we get disrespected, or when we say something because we know, and then our children disrespect us and say no to us, well, how much more do you think God, who knows everything, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who created the heavens and the earth, and we tell Him no? Hope that put that in perspective a little bit. We need to put ourselves back under His authority. And how does God speak to us? You're saying, well, God, does God really talk today? My daughter preached about this a little last Wednesday and talked about it. You know, God speaks to us through the Word, the Bible. You know, we need to read the Bible every day. We need to get in there, because there's times, you know, I've read through the Bible every year since probably 1985, the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. I really haven't read the maps that much. I mean, that doesn't interest me, but I stayed with the main part. And, you know, that's a joke. I hope you guys got that. But anyway, the idea and of reading that, and I every year, like this year, I've been reading through it, and man, I'm seeing things I've never have saw before. But it's there. But what it is the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, the Bible says in John. And He's telling me that, hey, Brad, this is for you today. I want you to have this. And so when it jumps off the pages, you know, you need to pay attention to that. See, we in the United States really have no excuse. You know, we all have access to the Bible. And yes, there is an app for that, for those of you wondering. And one that we use a lot is the YouVersion. You know, download it for free, has all kinds of Bible plans. You know, I just think back, wonder how smart I'd be right now if they'd had that when I started out. And you know, we didn't have a Bible app when I was a kid. You know, I'm just kidding around. But, you know, take advantage of that technology. Awesome Bible plans there. Devotionals you can read every day to build you up and build your family up. Also, God speaks to us through the inner witness. Now, you got to, you know, learn the voice of God. I mean, there's trial and error in that, but God's going to speak to us on the inside. God's also going to speak to us through our spiritual leaders, like pastors like myself and other believers in the body of Christ. You know, that's why we need to stay connected to each other. All these things help out, because God is sending divine communications. Now, the last point I want to look at today is talking about the remnant. The remnant. Now, that's a word you hear maybe every now and then, but the idea that the remnant will remain. Now, because it says here that those things which were shaken, you know, that cannot be shaken to the point where they're taken away. But it says they'll be shaken but yet remain. See, that's talking about the remnant. See, the remnant church has security that we're part of God's kingdom and we can't be shaken. When all the world is panicking and falling apart and all these things are going on, the remnant You know, even though that tree gets shaken and that fruit just stays, well, see, that's fruit that's connected well to that tree. And see, the Bible says that you and I need to be connected to the vine. And we have that good connection, we can stand strong in the face of this opposition and know that our God is sitting on the throne. And there's nothing that we have to worry about. See, as sure as there's a kingdom, there's a king. And we need to surrender our lives to that king and let him have all the authority. See, the remnant church is the people of God that remain true to biblical principles in the face of cultural opposition. And see, the church has so much cultural opposition now. We're getting, branded for being certain ways and certain things, that because we stand for truth and righteousness and what God says in the Bible, it says that, we're judging people and doing all this. No, we're just not, I didn't write it. I just read it. You know what I'm saying? If you got a problem, talk to God. God's the one who wrote the Bible. But he did it for our good inside of us. Father knows best. He knows what's best for his people. See, as a Christian, sometimes it can feel in the face of our culture, what we're doing is like we're either swimming uphill or fighting an uphill battle. I know it feels like that. And maybe you've went through that. I just want to encourage you to hang in there. Because I believe that the remnant church will thrive while the fake church dies. I believe in the time of shaking, the true church, the ones who truly believe and are holding on to God and on his principles and have willing to make him Lord, not preaching a people-pleaser message. Those that just want to draw a crowd and don't want to see any growth. See, the church is not about making everybody feel good. It's about growth. It's about discipleship. Discipleship feels good because when you get stronger on the inside, that feels good. If you're not at a church where you're being challenged, you need to get to one. You need to get to a place where you're being challenged with the Word of God so that you can grow strong in the power of his might. Because that's what God has for you. That's what God wants for his people. But even though, church, we go through all these attacks and all these problems, like we're swimming uphill, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the faithful right now. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. You're going to receive that reward for being faithful. Don't think that God's forgotten you. All the things of this world, all those sinful pleasures that you've walked away from, is going to be worth it. Don't compare yourself to a sinner that's going to hell and say, oh, I wish I had that life. Look to the things of God. Look to the things that God says he has for his people. You know, when Jesus comes back for the true church, the remnant church, and what I mean by that, people, just because, we say we go to church, that doesn't mean, that we're totally born again. You need to make sure you're right with God. And I challenge you, I don't want you to worry about your salvation if you have it. But on the other side, I just don't want you to take something for granted. Maybe you grow up in the church and you've never really had that point of decision in your life. I challenge you to get to that place. I pray that God shakes you right now so that he will draw you close to him. And whatever falls, let it fall. But hold on to the things that are going to remain. Now, in doing this, the greater, as a church, I'm talking right now, the greater our revelation from God, the greater our responsibility to mankind. See, it's not us four and no more. It's not that we're snooty and we think we're better than people. We need to reach out to a lost and dying world. If you're a true believer, you know what I'm talking about right now. A true believer wants people to come in to the kingdom. The true believer wants to empty all the places of sin and things in our culture. We want people to come out of that darkness and come into the light. That's the love of God that's being shed abroad in our hearts as we reach out to that lost and dying world. We're not hiding in the church and saying, oh, we made it, wave, yay for us, heck with them other guys. No. If you're a true believer, if you're the true remnant, you're not putting people down, you're reaching out and you want to pick people up. You want to bring them into the body of Christ. That's why I want to say, don't be a judge, be a reconciler. God has given us each the ministry of reconciliation, where he's told us to reach out. He's told us to go out. He said, don't wait for him to come. Go fetch him. Go get him. Go bring him in. Tell him I love him. I'm not mad at him. I sent my son to die for him. I want them to come into relationship with me. All they have to do is trust me and surrender to me, and they will be able to come into my family and be a part of what I'm doing. You know, we need to leave judging to the true judge, and that's God. God's the only one that knows the hearts. We don't. We can see the actions, but we don't know the heart. So just leave that to God and let him take care of it. The Bible also talks about here in this last passage, in verse 28 and 29, it says that, you know, we need to show gratitude. You know, I think sometimes the church, you know, we kind of put on that lemon face, you know, that sourpuss, and we don't show gratitude for what God's doing. We think about all the things we had to give up instead of all the things that we've tapped into. You know, we need to show gratitude to God and allow him to come in and flood our soul. We need to offer up acceptable service to God, it says here. That means if you're a Christian, you need to be involved. You need to be involved in the ministry. You may not be a pastor or an evangelist, but God has still put something inside of you. He's put a gift inside of you that he wants you to use for his glory and not your own. And there's power in that. And that's how you're going to find purpose. See, never lose also, it talks about, you know, our attitude about reverence and awe. You know, God is not my buddy. I know sometimes people kind of preach that way, that, you know, God's our big buddy and is a friend. He's loving. He is loving. And, you know, I do know that I boldly can come through to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. And I do that because I need that connection with God. But I still know that God is holy. I have to reverence him. I have to, you know, show him respect. I just don't, you know, disrespect him. Not willingly. Oh, I make mistakes just like everybody. I have to repent. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus that washes me and makes me clean. So I have that fresh start, and maybe you need that today. You know, God will give you a fresh start. See, he's a holy God. And the reason why we say this, and I'm wrapping up here, but it's kind of like if you had an ice cube and you had fire, something's going to give. That ice cube cannot survive around the fire. And see, we as sinners are like that ice cube. And the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, not just a flicker from a candle, but a raging furnace fire. And see, we can't live there. We can't get close to him. The only way we can is if it's enveloped by the blood of Jesus. Then that ice cube could go close because of the redemption and the power that's in the blood of Jesus. That's how we can get close to God. And that's why it's important that we understand proper protocol in approaching our Heavenly Father. So God is calling us close to him. Remember, the remnant can't be shaken. They are safe in the kingdom. And if you're the remnant today, God bless you. And if you're not, come on in. See, the kingdom is where the king lives and the king's in charge. If we want to live there, we need to surrender control of our lives. We can't receive God's protection unless we are willing to follow God's direction. And I want you to think with that, okay? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you touch each and every one of our hearts, convicting us if we need to let go of some things, you know, those things that are non-essential, those non-essential things in our life. Help us to let go of those things. But Lord, help us to grab a hold of the things that are important. Help us to stand on that rock that's never going to roll. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Draw us close to you in Jesus' name. If you'd like to find out more about God, I encourage you to message us. We'd like to help you in any way we can. If you have any questions, that's what it's about. That's how we learn things. There's no such thing as a stupid question. The only stupid question is one that never gets asked, because God has all the answers for you. At this time, we're going to close with a song. First, I want to mention, tune in this Wednesday at 6:30. We're going to have another gospel presentation for you, hopefully to help you grow in your life. And as I said, we love you and we care for you, and you're in our prayers. And let us know if you need any prayer.